Thank you very much, Choir, and Brother Gert. I'd like to thank Brother Tony for playing for us and Brother Loxley on the PA. Now we're happy to have our Brother Frank Perry with us, and we're going to call on him now for the message.
Thank you, Brother Grover. Good evening, everybody. Sometimes we may be tempted, but I'd like to let Tony know that we don't really take you for granted. Really appreciate you playing. And now I know why you keep small, running across the platform the way you do. Maybe that's what I need to do more of. But same thing is true of Patty, as well as our technicians and so many others. What we call arms in the church, and we really appreciate you very, very much. Good to see Brother Roddy back, being Green Turtle now for the last couple of weeks or so, and Brother Sister Valera, and told me he had a tremendous time there, and that's good. I'd like you to turn just to one verse for the time being in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. And verse 6, if you will, Matthew 6 and verse 6. Matthew 6 and verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret or in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There is a shut door of communion. A lot of us know something about that. We need it more today. We need a lot of prayer regarding our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We need to spend a lot of time because they're wrestling with problems and their enemy that we all have, but young people have their enemies as well, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And there's a tremendous bid today for our young. We've been sort of emphasizing that Sunday by Sunday. And we need to really pray a lot. And fathers, mothers, when you pray for your children, always keep in mind, do not pray that they will be blessed or changed or saved just to accommodate our own character or our own reputation. We want our children to be the best. Nothing wrong with that. But we want them to be the best for their sake and for the glory of God. We pray it like that, and God will answer. I know what I'm talking about. I'm still praying, and the Lord knows my motive, but I remember times when I was more worried about the reputation of the preacher when I prayed for my children than I was for the reputation of the child and for the glory of God. One day that hit me right between the eyes, and I realized my wrong, my sinfulness, confessed it to God and asked Him to give me wisdom to know how to pray. And so that's just a little thought pass on to you. So in this case, the Lord is inviting us to shut the door behind us because of the distractions of the world, and just to be occupied with Him in that private place, in that secret place. And God says, and I will reward you openly. I will answer your prayer. It didn't say, if you pray, that's when you pray, that take it for granted. We must pray. That is the real invitation of God. But there is another indication, or I should say picture, of a shut door in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 5. You needn't turn to it, but that's the case of Elisha going into that child, and he says, and he shut the door behind him, and he prayed unto the Lord, and the child came back to life. And it was a tremendous miracle performed on that occasion. That was the door of faith. Shut the door. Shut everything out of your mind. Believe God and trust God that He is able to do that which we've been praying for. And and the Lord will honor your faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God, for they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believe that God is able. We had a message given some time ago that there are some prayers that God will not answer because it's contrary to the wisdom of God. God knows what's best for us. Then there are prayers that are not answered because it's contrary to the word of God. And, of course, sometimes it's contrary to the sovereign will of God because God knows just what's ahead for us, and he gives us what we really need. And, of course, there are other areas as well. But the idea is believe God, trust him, and the Lord will honor your faith. And I've mentioned it some time ago, but it's worth repeating. Never mentioned the Sunday night, but a fellow was at a phone booth, and it was getting toward dark, had the phone book in his hand, and he was desperate because he couldn't see, and he's trying to locate the number, and actually it was an exasperating moment for him. Finally, somebody drove by in the car and said, "Sir," saw his plight. He said, "If you shut the door, the light will come on." So I use that to say that that's what we need in our prayer life. Shut the door, and the glorious light of answered prayer will come on, and it will happen. Okay? It's something about communion, something about faith that's sort of related. They go together. And for you here tonight, if you're here and you're not a Christian, the same thing applies to you. Believe, which it really requires simple childlike faith. Now, you do not need a lot of faith to get into heaven. That may surprise you. But a little faith can get you into heaven. Simply believe like a child that Jesus died for you on the cross and accept him as your Savior. Confess that you are a sinner before him and that he died for you. And you can know without a doubt tonight that Christ is yours. Simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But after you get saved, when you become a Christian, then you need a lot of faith to live. The faith will deepen, will increase. But to be saved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you see, you don't need a lot of faith. The real problem, your hang up, if I may say that respectfully, is your will. Oh, how often I labor there. Are you really willing to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Are you waiting for some great stir to happen? A great feeling to come over you. Dead people can't feel nothing. The Bible says you're spiritually dead and you can't feel anything. Oh, you might be emotionally moved by a sermon here and there and wrought upon, but when the Spirit of God convicts the unsaved person, that word convict doesn't mean there's got to be a tremendous emotional stir. It might happen. But it doesn't mean that. You know what it means to be convicted? When the Spirit convicts you, if you're here and you're not a Christian, it simply means this. The Spirit of God convicts you that you are a sinner. Now we forget that. It convicts the unconverted man that he's not right with God. It convicts him the fact of his sinnership and that he needs the Lord. Oh, my friend. It's a matter of your will. Are you willing to trust? Mind you, I've seen some people weep. I've seen them shake. I've seen them cry like a baby and never get saved. That's not conviction. It's not conviction. However, it's just a thought in passing. This faith, this communion, or this trusting the Lord, calling on him, a simple prayer. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a prayer. What a prayer of faith and a prayer to believe that he was Lord. Lord, that's thing. He recognized the lordship of Christ. He recognized that he was the Messiah. And he said, when thou comest into thy kingdom, he said, remember me. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, thank God for that wonderful truth. But then we come to another door in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open to me, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Now I realize that many of theologians believe that really for the Christian, Laodicean church was in such a bad spiritual state that God, the Lord Jesus was saying, open the door. I want to come in and fellowship with you, sup with you. However, nothing wrong in using it for the unconverted as well. Behold, I stand at the door. Let me ask you this question, and it's true. How long has Jesus been standing at your heart's door, knocking and knocking and knocking? You know, it's the most frustrating thing, not with God, but with me. I used to be a delivery boy. I used to deliver telegrams. I used to deliver groceries. And many times, here I was. If I'm going to leave the groceries on the front porch, I'd be in a lot of trouble with the storekeeper, with the manager, I can assure you. The dogs and the cats all around, and they're not home. 2 miles delivering on a bike, those groceries, no cars and pickup trucks in those days. It was frustrating. I'd knock on the door, and I'd knock, and I'd knock. Nobody home. But then, there are doors that were locked. I share a few with you. All of you have seen, perhaps most of you, the movie of the Titanic. I preached on the Titanic for years. And it always brings a real feeling of depression, really, in my heart, sadness. One of the things that they did depict, but only briefly, was the poor class people way down in the lower decks of the Titanic, where many of them were housed in one big room, immigrants going to America to farm, had high ideals, aspirations, they were going to live in a new land. And it was an exciting time for them when they boarded that ship. On the top decks and so on, the elite, rich and the famous. Even the builder or the owner of the lines was on that boat, on the Titanic. And so when he heard that Captain Smith, John Smith, was sort of slowing the boat down, he was furious. He said, I want to beat my own record crossing the Atlantic. Hook her up! Smith said, but there's too many icebergs around. It's dangerous. We've been warned by other ships. As that California was only 12 miles away when she hit. And so she hit the iceberg, and as we now know, ripped that hull under the water line, about 280 to 300 foot gash. Maybe more. The unsinkable was finally going down. It was going down. Her maiden voyage. It was terrible. You cry all through the film. As it did.
Now we know that. He said, but then darkness and all you could hear was moans and groaning of people in the water. He said, I cannot get it out of my mind, though it's years later. I'm tormented day and night by the sounds of those poor people that froze to death in the water. Over 1,500 people perished in that disaster. But the thing that's very heart-rending is when they found out that she was sinking, they locked the lower gate. In those days, they had gates. They don't have it today. It's illegal. Ships are built different. They have huge doors to practically every two decks or so, and makes it a lot easier to escape. But they locked the gates, and those people rushed to the gates, and water was pouring down the hallways of the Titanic. as she listed terribly, screaming and pounding, and finally they did break the gates. Whether all were broken either, I'm not sure. But at the awful feeling of being trapped and locked down there, those doors shut, water pouring in, the ship going down. Can you put yourself in that position? Can you try to imagine what it must have been like? It was a horrendous experience for those poor people, with all their aspirations, the dream of living in a new world, had come to a very sad end. If we apply that to our unconverted friends, I know nothing sadder in all the world than in Matthew 25, when there were 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish. Remember, in Matthew 25 and verse 10, and it says, when the bridegroom came and they all rushed out, but the others, the 5 that didn't make it, they had lamps, they looked alike, but they were all asleep. And when they were aroused, they found out the 5 foolish virgins had no oil in their lamps. You've heard many preachers say, the oil speaks of the Spirit of God. You do not have the Spirit of the Lord in your heart, you're not saved. Because when you become a Christian, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, takes up residence in your heart. Romans 8 brings that out. He that hath not the Spirit is none of his. And so the oil represents the Spirit of God dwelling in one's life and one's heart. That happens the moment you become a Christian. And so, but they knocked, or they called. And it says, and they that were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. They knew the language. They had opportunity. Give us your oil, give us your oil. They had none. Oh, my friend, solemn, you know, when you think of it. When I was in Argentina, similar to the discotheque in Spain, there they were dancing and they had a tremendous time, the world's time, pleasure, with drink and dancing. And when the stage was on fire, they thought it was part of the show, but it turned out it was not part of the show. It was a fire. And when they fumed or the smoke, many of them that were succumbed or at least overcome by it, they realized what had happened, and they couldn't go out to the front door because of the crowd of people that were trying to get out. They were trampling one another, so most of them rushed to the back door. When they got to the back door, the exit door was shut, barred. And when they finally opened that back door from outside, when they got the fire out, when the building was practically destroyed, 250 young people, their bodies on top of one another, charred. The door was shut. Illegal to do that. And they died. Same thing happened in Argentina when I was down there, or just before I got there. But one sad incident to me was in Georgia. The fire broke out in a high school, and the kids rushed into this huge section of part of small auditorium, I should say, where a lot of the students were. And they rushed to the windows, and the windows had iron bars. Iron bars. I don't know the reason for it. However, one boy saw his dad on the perimeter. And where they had them, of course, had the thing roped off. And he saw his father. And he said, "Dad! Dad! Please, can you help me? Help me! Help me!" And that father, at the last words, he tried to get through the ranks, but they wouldn't let him. And his son perished in the flames of that place. The bars prevented him from getting out as well as other students. But the awful cry, help me, help me. I want to be realistic because I'm getting up in years and I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste your time. Not that I feel I'm doing that, but I've got to be faithful and I've got to be honest. I have to paint these pictures because when you die in your sin, you're lost forever, 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 and forever. I have to tell you, the door to heaven will be shut. The rich man saw Lazarus. It says that there was a great gulf fixed. They that are there could not pass over. Barred. Barred. Oh, my friend, don't you see it? Yet God has made ample provision so that you will escape this horrible place, and you need not have a door shut in your face. And they that were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. The door of separation. Terrible. Terrible. There's another door way back in the book of Genesis chapter 7. That then the Lord shut Noah and his family in. The door was shut in Noah's ark. They couldn't get in. You've heard it said how they must have laughed when they saw him building that gigantic ship, this phenomena, and unheard of. No ocean, no water around. Noah lost his marbles. Says that God told him to build this big ark. Said that judgment was coming, that a flood was coming. Can you imagine that? Look at the monstrosity. Noah, I see you're still at it. Man, you're wasting your time. Now, I know I'm putting in what's not in the word, but you could use a little common sense. After all, that man was hammering away day in and day out, timber after timber, laying the keel and whatever, the framework. They couldn't get over it, but he kept at it. And he kept at it. You know why? God says it's going to rain. And Noah believed it. And finally came the day when all was finished and all the preparations and all the animals in. And it says, and God shut the door. And the rains came. The earth opened up. Water gushed out. Geysers gushed out of the earth. These same folk who laughed, ignored. How do you think they felt? The trauma of it all is hard to even imagine. It must have been so bad that God said after that, I will never, never again flood the entire earth. That's how bad it was when God said that. I'll never do it again. But he was nauseated and God was so upset and angry. It says the wickedness of the human heart, the evil that they committed continually. They didn't know left from right as far as right and wrong. Murder! Incest! Sodom and Gomorrah was the same way. And God sent the flood. Oh, thank God in the last 2,000 years, what a difference. People blaspheme him, curse him, and say all kinds of things about God, and yet he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thousands, yea, millions of people down through the centuries have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Spanish Wells and our three churches here. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We have a high percentage of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's unique, really. Spanish Wells is unique. I thank God for our little island, and we've been blessed. Blessed of the Lord. The salt of Spanish Wells are the believers. We might be weak. We may have our problems. But the church, take her out of Spanish Wells. God help the balance of this population. We are blessed.
They were a blessed people. Oh, my friend, listen. Will you ever have heaven's door shut in your faith? I sincerely trust not. I think it was Dr. Billy Graham who said on one occasion in Florida that there was a man waving frantically in the highway one night. Stop! 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 Some of the vehicles went by and ignored him totally. And finally, he was able to get them to stop. The little bridge is out! The bridge is out! I think it was, maybe a dozen people. I'm not sure how many now, but there were quite a few that were injured, but I believe six were dead because they ignored the poor man's signal, waving frantically for them to stop. He knew what had happened. Maybe you think this man is frantic. Maybe you think he's a maniac. I don't know. Maybe you think his imagination's running too wild. Maybe you think I'm trying to be too impressive or dramatic. Maybe you think that I'm trying to be too persuasive. I cannot help it. I might as well give up preaching now. I'll ask Brother Roddy, don't ask me no more to preach in Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel. No more. If you tell me I can't preach the way I preach now, I will close the Bible here. I'll go somewhere else and preach. I cannot help it. I can't. That's why we, knowing the terror of the Lord, we what? We persuade men. That's the word of God. We know the terror of God. Do not trifle. Young people, do not trifle today. Bow the knee to Christ. Let him in. Say yes to him tonight. And you'll never, never be sorry. Believe me, you won't. Oh, may God help you to really do this, to bow the knee to him and to trust him. But time has gone. I have a lot to say, and I'm going to close right there. Don't let the door be shut in your face. All right, do, please, I beg you, don't let this happen to you. A woman lost her husband and she was so sad. In fact, she was heartbroken. And she's not the only one. A lot of people lost loved ones. But one day she gassed up her little airplane and she left a note behind. And she went up high altitude she possibly could, and she got over the ocean. And when she got up so high, she deliberately nose-dived into the ocean like that. And in her letter, she says, I do not want you to call it suicide. I only want you to know that it's my way out, and I want to find my husband. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? The wrong door. The wrong door. Those poor students came out of that classroom, out of that one door, and that silly man opened fire and killed several of them. Wrong. The timing was right. I never really realized that they would be dead. It's sad. Let's bow our heads really for a moment of silence. Just for, when I say silent, silent prayer, all right? Bow before God and pray. Surely there must be somebody in this meeting tonight. Just before I close in a word of prayer, while heads are bowed and Christians are praying, is there someone in this meeting or one? You're saying, Frank, I know what you're saying is true. And I don't want this night to go by without committing my life to Christ. I want to be saved. Pray for me. I want to have a talk with the brethren. Or maybe you've made a prayer already, just a prayer of faith during the sermon or the service. You want to let us know. Just quietly slip your hand up. It'll indicate to us that you want to be saved, all right? Or you have trusted him. He certainly won't save you. I don't care how many hands go up, but we do it because we want to give an opportunity to express yourself, your desire. Is there someone here tonight?
young people, I don't know your spiritual status. I really don't. But God knows and you know. Are you ready to meet the Lord? You quietly slip your hand up and take it down again. Are there any? Anyone here tonight? God is speaking to you. And you want to be saved. Father, we thank you for the privilege of presenting the Word of God, the Word of life. We realize there are some solemn things contained in the book with all the shut doors. We realize, O God, the day is coming when the door to eternity with Thee will be closed. The gospel will no longer be preached. The Antichrist will have his field day. Satan and all of his cohorts will be set at large, will work freely as never before. Murder, incest, genocide that will be committed by the tyrant and dictator. We find it difficult to even imagine what it's going to be like. And apart from all of the atrocities and the tribulation that will come upon the earth, and the sun will be darkened, and the ocean will turn to blood, and all the fish will die. There'll be no pure drinking water. Boils, sores breaking out on the human body. Earthquakes such as never been known. Hailstones. Father, nearly 100 pounds in weight. Father, we cannot conceive these things, and yet your word says it's going to happen. Oh, God, we pray for our congregation. We pray for those that are not saved. Help them to hasten their steps, to bow the knee to Christ tonight. This is our prayer, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.